What's going down, podcast listener? Welcome back to the Symbiosis Now podcast. I'm Tyler Colombaro, and I'm the host of the show. And on this show, we like to have a good conversation every single episode, guaranteed, all in hopes of inspiring you to get out there and have your own conversations in the real world, whatever that means. And each episode, we have a special guest to help us do that. And on this one, we have the one and only Zach Hawkins, the badass electrician. Found out he's my neighbor recently, in fact. And the legendary figure of Reedley. He's a brick in the wall, folks. If you've never heard of him, we're going to get to know him a little better via this conversation. So folks, I hope you're excited, because I sure as fuck am. And I hope that you can like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about the podcast. And without further ado, let us voyage into the yonder of conversation with Zach Hawkins on the Symbiosis Now podcast.
You know, Idaho potatoes? That's prison labor.
I was face down in the gravel, teeth biting road like asphalt. Coca-Cola still uses coca leaf in their mixture for flavor.
Because the simpler a message is, the more people can get behind it.
I can really tune in and try to stay alert on what's going on right now.
And also, I had read the fucking label wrong, so we actually took 10 times the amount we were supposed to take.
Wow.
Of each.
This is the thing, and I want this to be like a public service announcement to people.
PSA, listen, PSA. This is important.
Yo, what up?
Zach Hawkins, what's up, big dog? How are you, man?
Pretty good, brother. How you doing, man?
Dude, I'm good, man. Life's good. Things are good. I feel like things in the world kind of aren't sometimes. Depends on how you look at it, but I think in my little world, things are all right.
See, that's how I look at it too, brother. I have a beautiful family. I'm healthy, and you know what? That's all you could ask for, right?
I guess I could ask for some more money to make it all float too, but like, you know, we're working hard for that shit right now in our lives, you know?
Yep, that's right.
Hey, so like, I just realized, because I was stalking your Instagram, because I was like, I gotta know Zach Hawkins a little bit better. Zach Hawkins, yeah. The Zach Hawkins that I always remembered was this super cool dude, and you still are. But now you're an electrician, am I wrong?
Nope, that's right. I'm an apprentice electrician. I'm actually going through the apprenticeship as we speak.
But you're kicking ass. Yeah. I've seen some of your videos. That's pretty lit, bro.
Heck yeah, I enjoy it, man. It's something that I never saw myself doing, but you know what? I wake up and I'm happy to go to work every day.
Well, I mean, I feel like it's kind of a necessary trade that we need in our society, and any society that's doing electricity of any kind, obviously. But like, I'm kind of scared of doing stuff, bro, honestly. And I work at the hardware store, right? And like, people come in and they ask me what breaker and yada yada, and I'm like, bro, if it doesn't match up, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, you know, I'm not going to break it down into all these terms. The point is it's a no-go. So I don't feel comfortable saying, yeah, just take it and see, because some people just don't know, no matter what it is. But especially electrical, I don't give people advice. I'm saying that on record, so in case anybody ever says some shit, bro, right now. Because I swear, people have come back saying, hey, man, someone told me to do this. And I'm like, well, I know it wasn't me, because I'll never give advice on electrical.
Yeah, that's one thing you should always stick with a professional to do. You know, you could do drywall, you could, you know, frame up a fence or a shed. But, you know, electricity is one thing that I recommend calling a professional for.
Yeah, this ain't even a commercial, but like, it could be now if you ever want to do your own thing later, right? Bro, you know, we'll take this clip and we'll slap it out there, dude.
Dang, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, low-key subliminally, you know, that's what I like.
Heck yeah.
Hey, so recently we realized we came together, folks, on this podcast. We've been reunited by my crazy tweaker neighbor. That is literally how we got here today, and I'm super proud to say that. And I'm also proud to say that there's updates on that front. You know, if anybody listened, they heard that this neighbor that I have, bless his soul, he's crazy. You know,
poor guy.
I know. I don't know what else to say. He's on one, though, I'm sure. I've seen his eyes.
That's for sure.
I seen his eyes, and the only time I ever spoke to him face to face, which was like 3 months ago, he was yelling at me, and he had the lighter in his hand still, and his eyes were like yellow, like fucking orange, dude.
He literally
like,
had just dropped the pookie right before you hit him up.
Dude, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I'm not trying to be mean. Like, and this is not a lie. Like, this is literally my opinion and my observation, you know? So anyways, at that point, I realized, oh, we're dealing with a goner. Like, you know? And it sucks, right. But I don't know, man. You literally heard the episode where I talked about it, which, in case anyone wants to hear, it's the one with Fred. I don't remember what number episode is, but I'll put it in the description or something. But check it out. We talk about my neighbor, and you heard this stuff, and then you realized, oh, my gosh, I live near you because I hear it too? Is that literally what happened?
Exactly. So I was listening to that at work, and then all of a sudden I'm, like, hearing about these horns going off, and it just flashed in my head. I was like, I hear that motherfucker from my bedroom. I was like, I have to hit Tyler up about this. There's no way there could be two of these in Reedley.
Could you hear it at the time you were listening to the podcast, though?
Well, I was at work.
Oh, okay. I was on another level with that one right now with that question. But, dude, imagine. It'd be like, wait a minute.
I need to go find this guy.
No, dude, it's pretty scary, though, because the guy just, it's not just his car alarm, bro. Like, this guy that lives around the corner from me, he, like, sets off his car alarm, but he doesn't anymore because now he knows it's evidence of him setting off an alarm. And he's now on thin ice, apparently. And what I mean by that is, like, the police now give him, like, $1,000 fine each time that this fool sets off alarm and someone complains. So if you're in the local area of Reedley, California, just give a listen. Now, I'm joking, but all seriousness, bro, like, this guy started setting off alarms, I feel like, inside his house, it sounds like, literally. Like, a house alarm and then another level, which literally sounds kind of like, no joke, rape whistle. Like, if you ever look it up, a rape whistle, like, sounds a certain type of way.
Yep.
And, like, it sounds like that sometimes real late at night. Going off constantly, though. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's just weird, dude. Like, what sets people to do things like that? I know drugs, but, man.
No, yeah, I was going to say meth, but you're right, bro.
Yeah.
But I think it's also a bitterness. I think it's a deep, that's why it's kind of weird. It's even weird to talk about on the podcast,
very
but it's like. Pity. I don't find him the type that he'd want to listen to my podcast or anything, but or even catch wind of it because he's on another planet, dog. But maybe he's a 10 antennaing because if he can withstand these sounds, like you can't put earplugs in inside your house and set off an alarm and not hear it yourself. So it's very confusing, you know.
Yep.
But we're at the end of this war, hopefully, pretty soon. I haven't heard it in a while. You know?
Man, well, I haven't heard it either since we talked about it. I have not heard it going off, but you never know what might set him off.
Bro, I don't even like to talk shit on people, ever. Honestly, I fucking hate it. But on the real, fuck that guy. That guy is a negative guy. That guy yelled at the wrong fucking people, and I'm not even talking about me. He yelled at me, like, once, but he yelled at my wife, too. But, like, I'm not talking about us being the wrong people. He yelled at, like, the police officers a bunch of time and shit.
Wow.
He yelled at the police station, at the people from the city of our small town. That's not smart, you know?
He literally has no chill.
Nah, he shouldn't have done that. That's all. Yeah. It's like, and then so just in a nutshell, no one should ever do that. Like, you know, you should never take something to the level of having people, like, kind of not know what to do anymore. And, like, when people tell you what to do, sometimes you got to listen, sadly. Like, that's how society functions. It's kind of like making my eyes open to, like, you know, I got to be chill about the things I do. I don't want to be too abrasive with my neighbors and all this shit. I don't want to, and I don't think I am, but, man, it's easy to kind of piss some people off. You could be that guy that plays music all the time, hella loud.
And not even know that you're making them mad, but when they bring it up to your attention, you're like, oh, you know what? Respectfully, I'm sorry. I won't do this anymore.
Right,
be blatantly keep doing it after you tell people that, hey, this is not cool, that ain't right.
And when it's an alarm, it's multiple different levels of alarms. And, like, some of them are, like, dog whistle type frequencies where they're real high pitched. But, you know, there's no one else around here fucking just setting off alarms, dude. Like, it's official. He admitted it to the wrong people, to the cops, literally said, hey, yo, I did this. That's not smart. But the point is, like, I'm not giving advice on the podcast. I'm just saying we all know that's not what you do. Like, you know, but
exactly. He
obviously gave himself away when he would set off his car alarm because you could physically see it going off. And you're like, what the fuck, man? Like,
yeah.
But
and like the first time you thought like, man, maybe this guy's in trouble. Let me go help him out like a good neighbor.
Oh, genuinely, and that's how it happened. Yeah.
The case.
No, he was like, "Fuck you." He literally said, "Fuck you." I don't even know how many times.
Wow.
And he like pushed the door like at me like it was gonna hit me in the face kind of. And the door was like kind of all fucked up already, so I'm like, oh no, like, I don't know.
What did I get myself into?
Yeah, I shouldn't be here. So I just kind of like threw my hands up, started walking away, and they called me a white bitch, you know.
Fuck.
And like, and I was just like, I'm gonna let that one go too, and I'm just walking away now. I'm just walking away. Because it's like, dude, there's only a few things anybody knows. You don't generally call someone unless you're like joking or you're like trying to fight. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And so obviously I ain't trying to fight. You know what I mean? But he's saying fighting words type of shit. It's weird.
Exactly.
Not safe. Not cool.
Just got to say a prayer for him if that's what you do, you know, and hopefully he'll come out of it.
Nah, seriously, because I don't know what the end to that saga is, bro. Like, you know, it just doesn't make sense. Like, you know, how do you, and then if you've done it for so long, for months, years maybe, how long do you, like, you know, like, until you're addicted to it or some shit, and what else are you gonna do to fill that void, bro? Like, what else is like it, you know?
Like, how could I piss the next person off? What could I do?
Like, it's like there's nothing else like tweaking out and setting off an alarm or two and just knowing that. Like, if you could live there, I bet you it's something else, because it's like no one does that. Like,
I just don't understand how his partner doesn't say, like, dude, knock that shit off.
Yeah, they fill a very special niche in the world, like, together and separately, because it's just very strange, like, that no one would put up with that. Like, I would be, but to me, it seems like it might be kind of dangerous, you know? There might be something going on in that household that we don't know, you know?
Exactly.
It's none of my fucking business, but it's weird. And it's something that needs to be talked about. It's a, dude, any podcast is like a form of like, you know, societal discussions of any kind, right? That's all this is. But like, what does a person do when they're in a situation like that is why I talk about that kind of shit on the podcast. Not to shame someone and not to make fun of someone.
No,
it's like mind blowing shit, bro. It's like you wouldn't believe that's a real story, and that's real. Like,
I bet some people are out there thinking like, man, how could this even be a real story? But I'm telling you, it is. There's no lie in this at all.
It's so funny that, like, you validating this shit is so mind-blowing to me and Allison. Like, a few people literally recently contacted us that live near us and, like, no way is that really what's happening. I thought I was crazy. Like, they tell us, they thought they were crazy, bro. I thought I was crazy, bro, for a while, like, thinking, nah, maybe it just happens when I'm home, like, for some reason. Like, you know?
It happens. I will validate that 100%.
Dude. I don't know. But anyways, I'm so glad that we met up again, because I got questions, man. I need answers, you know? And I want to know from you, Zach Hawkins, if you ever seen any aliens or anything like that out there, some UFO type shit. Everyone's talking about it these days, but they ain't got no proof, bro. I think that someone's real, happening. Like, if they actually experience something, that's a real story. But the photos and all that shit obviously ain't out there, because I ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, honestly, brother, I've never seen anything myself. I've had friends say they've seen stuff. And do I believe in aliens? Yeah, I do. But my belief in aliens is I don't really, you know, they might be up in space, but also they might be in our ocean, dude, because we know so much more about our space than we do our own ocean. That is a vast area. And there's parts of the ocean you can't even research yet. So who knows what's down there? There's no telling.
Oh, for real? I concur.
So, but yeah, other than that, I mean, there has to be, you know, some sort of extraterrestrial being. We can't be the only ones. This world is way too big for that.
And it's like, what is extraterrestrial like, you know? Like, some could say that fungus is extraterrestrial at some point, because it doesn't need necessarily, like, oxygen or, like, I don't know, like, light. Like, I don't know, those two factors are pretty determinant of humanity and animals and plant life and everything, you know, pretty much everything. So it's pretty interesting to think about how it could just be like a plant, dude, or like exactly. an algae or something that like they say we came from or some shit originally right. could just be from like a comet that flew from somewhere else and like it's on Earth now. And that's technically extraterrestrial. Like that's technically a form of alien life because it's living, it's doing something. I don't know, man. Like it's a hard one, but I like to think about that.
Yep, I do too. I mean, I've always wanted to see something because since I was little, I've always believed in it. And it's cool, you know, like, man, I would love to be a researcher on that, like go to space or deep down in the ocean and really dive into it. It'd be an amazing experience.
Dude, imagine what they find in the ocean, bro. Like when they start looking, everybody always finds something.
Exactly. And then you see like those Navy ships that are way out in the ocean and like things coming out from there. And you know, it's just a trip, bro.
Yo, what's up with these people that have went to Antarctica before? Isn't that a thing? Like there's a book written about it and everything. My boss was telling me about it the other day.
I've never heard of that.
But, like these you know, dudes like traveled there in like the early 1900s to scope it out. I don't know. Maybe it was like the car.
That was the last time anybody's ever been over there.
I don't know, man. I wish I knew more about it before I brought it up. I just thought you were going to be like, dude, there's people living there. And I'm going to be like, tell me more, bro. Like, you know, usually that's what people say. Like they have some yeah. wild theory. But like, I just don't know. I like to think about it, though, because is it inhabitable? Yes, clearly by polar bears and certain animals. But humans,
exactly.
And in every area, not necessarily, you know, above the surface anyways, maybe below the surface, because water just stays like a certain temperature at a certain level, right?
Yep.
And like, so I don't know about shit really when it comes to like ocean habitat and stuff, but definitely there's some weird stuff that comes out the ocean. And definitely you could consider some of those animals alien to humans because like there's stuff we don't even know what's down there yet. That's right. alien to our understanding and our acknowledgement. Yeah. So would that count? Someone would say no. But just because they don't speak English and they don't look like the green alien that looks like on the podcast logo right. or something like the classic green oval-shaped head alien, like if it doesn't look like that, why can't we conceive of that being like an alien life form, you know? And I think it is.
You're absolutely correct. Anything other than, you know, what we know, like it could be a new species that they found and that's an extraterrestrial being. Like nobody knew that before. Like where did it just come from?
Right.
And they find new bugs and animals, not all the time now, but they still do.
Dude, bugs, insects, that's another good one. And those are like things subsurface or above surface. Like we see them all the time. Everyone says they hate bugs, bro. They're always swatting them away and shit. It's like they're literally little aliens like trying to like record you for all you know. Like, and what are they saying? You know, like they're strengthening the alien AI. Like they're the eyes on the ground. Like they're the microphones on the ground. And they're biological, but somehow through some weird Wi-Fi type connection that they just learn how to tap into, like it's like telepathically traveling to the other aliens. Okay, I'm way out there, but you feel me, right? Like,
oh, yeah. They have a direct line right to the main alien.
Yeah, dude, and they're just like absorbing it, like the AI, and absorbing more information about the human culture and society. And they're just like also kind of, you know, having babies in our food and like our rotting meat and our garbage cans and stuff. And it's far out there, but when I was, I'm still in an insect lab, but at a different place. But when I worked for the University of California, we used to go all over the Central Valley to collect samples for bugs. But we'd see a lot of bugs we weren't looking for often, too. And I remember I was in this lab with these entomologists. Like, that's what they did. And that's what they studied their whole life. Shout out to them. Shout out to Wilson Lab, dude. That's all they knew. I'm not to say that, but like that's what their shit was, which is so weird because most people you ask them like, "What's your thing?" and they'll be like, "I'm good at Call of Duty" or like, you know, something. But they're like, "Dude, I know bugs and I'm obsessed with traveling to like see these bugs, you know, and get tattoos of the bugs on them." Shout out to Jessica McCarroll because she would get these tattoos of these weird looking bugs. You'd think it was just like a tattoo artist designed some weird looking insect, but it's like, no, she like found that insect and like can't find maybe exactly what the species is yet because they don't know if it's like been found and recorded and shit. And it's not that she took it or anything. She just took a picture of it, right?
Yeah.
And then had a tattoo artist, like, tattoo it on her. And
that's
like,
pretty dope.
It's, that's what she would keep doing. And it's weird because it's like, who does that? But people in entomology do that, bro.
Wow, they love them. They love them bugs.
And what they'll say often, too, is that they communicate. They know what's up. A lot of social insects specifically, like bees and ants. Those are all, and wasps, they're all in a similar family. And, like, they communicate, bro. Like, I studied the moths, and they would, like, we'd study them, bro. Like, I'd have to wait out at nighttime, bro. I shit you not, bro. We'd have to have, like, headlamps with the red light on there so they couldn't see us, right? Because they would just, if you put the light on, they'd fly away and be all scared or whatever. And we're cutting. Okay, so picture a little baby moth, right? Little teensy moth, too, not a big one. We clip the wings kind of, bro. So we'd have to knock them out with CO2. So that's a trip.
No.
You put them in a little thing, and they temporarily are stunned. And you already have them sexed, so you know it's a female each time. So you kind of clip their wing. And if they don't have wings, they don't fly. In fact, they don't really move, especially if it's cold, because they're supposed to fly when they're in adult form. They're supposed to fly and not really feed on anything. They're supposed to mate and die, basically, at that point. They already laid their eggs, theoretically. Or like they're supposed to mate, lay their eggs, and die. Like that's like a days of happening too. It's not even like a month or so. Like they go through cycles fast, insects. So it's really interesting to like see this little female in a cup at night, bro, and come up on the cup and see a male mating with it, bro. It's just like, wait, what the fuck? Like these guys are out here just fucking all the time. No light, no nothing. You're looking at them while they're coming out. That you see their antenna, bro, going in circles a specific way. And they're literally like, they're like, you could say they're smelling / listening / looking all in one shot for like something going on out there. And in fact, it's often a female who sends out pheromones that are not just smells. They're not smells. They're like a chemical structure sent out into the air. Maybe we wouldn't smell it. So like you're walking through a field and you'd be like, wonder what that smell is. Maybe it might be like a pheromone that some bugs be sending out. You never know. Like, you know, like stink bugs are a good example of something that you can smell their shit that they let out, their compounds that they release. But these other bugs, like maybe you can't smell them. And they're, so dude, think about that. They're using chemicals to communicate, you know?
Dude, that is a trip. And you know, a lot of people, they would never even know that because they just take these bugs for granted, you know what I mean? But they're actually very complex beings, and
dude,
people just want to, you know, write them off for a moth, an annoying little moth. But if you, like you did, study them, you would realize that they're pretty badass.
In fact, they're so badass that these companies that grow lots and lots of almonds and pistachios pay lots and lots of dollars to keep these lots and lots of moths from doing what I just described, because if they do, they ruin the crop and they can't sell it, and it creates mold in the crop because they lay their eggs, which turn into worms, which eat the nuts, and then they can't sell them because they're moldy, you know?
And they're losing out on their profit.
Ultimately, and it makes sense. I mean, that's, you know, you could take a different pest or insect for a different crop, in a different part of the world, and it's all a similar kind of approach. Someone's trying to keep from their crop from getting eaten by what likes to eat the crop, you know, ironically, is an insect, you know, and they multiply, like I said, like motherfuckers, dude, and it's crazy, and there's no way to fight it other than we know of, right, the mainstream ways to fight it with chemical warfare. Yeah, and all myriads of different chemical warfare, too. Because when you think about these moths, like I said, when they're flying in the air, you're never going to get them. Like,
no, yeah, they're too quick.
They'll fly away. You know what I mean? But while the tractor's going down the row spraying, they're just gone, you know? And so they're hitting all the leaves and all the fruit and stuff, but what they're going for is the actual worms, the little babies as they're feeding, you know? So it kills them in that larval state so they cannot reproduce, right?
That they never are born.
But then another method, in the lab that I was studying, not to give away any kind of special information, and it's not special, it's published and shit, like, is that they're trying to work on mating disruption. So they're trying to find ways. The reason why we were studying their mating patterns out in the field at 4 a.m. or whatever, watching them basically get laid, but by force or whatever, because we clip their wings. You know, we're doing that for a reason, and it's ultimately to find out their mating patterns and ultimately to find out how to disrupt that mating pattern so they don't multiply again, you know, instead of them even being there, right? Like, and spraying them and needing to spray them. It's like, well, maybe we need to just stop them from being there, you know? And it's like, oh, well, duh, but how are you going to do that? It's like, oh, we're going to just like disrupt their reproductive rights. We're going to take them all away, you know? And we're going to...
Isn't that what they're doing here?
I mean, kind of on it, right? I mean, hey, we can go there. That's the truth, you know? And not to say it's the truth, but we know there's some warfare always going on with reproductive rights too, man. You know?
Oh, yeah.
What's going down, podcast listener? I imagine that you drive a car when you're out and aboutin'. You might even have a motorcycle, per se. And I think that most people that live in the society we live in have a home of some sort. On those things, do you have insurance? That is my question to you. And if you do not, it seems like it's time to get you some. What are you doing out there listening to a podcast? Because if you are, at the same time simultaneously, you could be calling Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West Insurance to provide you with top-notch service. Give him a call at 559-638-3800. Do you not have a license? That doesn't seem to be a problem. He can set you up. Do I know how? I have no idea, but he can set you up. He claims to know. Are you anything like me? And when you were younger, got into some trouble, had a DUI, and needed an SR-22 insurance? Maybe? I hope not, but if you do, Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West Insurance can set you up with the free SR-22. You can find Alfredo looking sharp in the suit on 998 North Manning Avenue in Reedley, California, or you can give him a jingle down there at the shop at 559-638-3800. Be sure to tell him that you heard about him on the Symbiosis Now podcast, and he will set you up ASAP with all your insuring needs. Thank you, Alfredo, for sponsoring the podcast. And now let's get back to the show, folks.
How do you feel? We don't need to talk about that shit, but like, what's up with our times, bro? Like, what do you feel about social media, man? Like, what the fuck? I mean, it's not a bad thing, right? But it's like, what's going on? Like, are we good?
It's not a bad thing, but in a lot. Is bad for you, you know what I mean? It take things, you know, instead of being on social media for 4 or 5 hours a day, maybe an hour or two is good. After that, you know, you're just wasting your life, I feel like.
Yeah, dude.
And nowadays what they have on there, I'm scared to have my kids grow up in this day and age, honestly. When I was a kid, I didn't have, the world in my hand.
What are you scared of? What do you think you're scared of? Like, with them seeing? Because I get what you mean. We saw a lot growing up. We were entering the age of the internet, like, you know, as we were growing up. But now it's already too accessible, like, you know?
What I'm scared about is, like, honestly, like, you know, a 10-year-old or maybe 8, 7, you know, they could Google, hey, is Santa real? Boom, no, Santa is a myth, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, that goes there, that... you could Google anything nowadays and it's going to pop up. And if you say, if it's restricted or, you know, there's ways around that stuff. And I'm just scared, dude, right? Because it's getting worse and worse.
Yeah, dude. I mean, fuck, bro. I remember being hella young, like 10, maybe 12. And I remember like the most epic shit that you could do was some underground shit that you could get, like a DVD that had been burned or copied already, which was like technically illegal, right? And you're like watching it because it's not yours. Whose is it? I don't know. Like, you know, no one's like, how'd you get it? I don't know. Like, where is it now? I don't fucking know. Like, literally to this day, I don't fucking know where they'd be. But bro, we used to get like burned DVDs and shit. And it'd be like, you'd have to have the DVD, and then that means it had to have been copied on some kind of computer prior, and like you have to go through a process, and it took a while, and it was like physically had to be transferred. Now you can just like email or send shit like right away, like, you know, and it's pretty epic. But the reality is, when we were kids, that's the only way to obtain these things and go buy them at the actual like record store or whatever. There weren't records anymore, but they'd be CDs and shit. And and I remember getting videos like what was it called, Bum Fights and shit, you know? Yeah. So we're talking like another shade of black market. So not only is it like a burned a video, whatever you want to call it, like a copied video that's not technically supposed to be copied, it's almost like it's a video that's not even supposed to be allowed either, right? So it's like another level. And that was like the coolest shit that we would do. But it was pretty bad. My parents, when they'd see us watch that, they'd be like, what are you watching? Like, they would want us to get rid of it. Like, it was satanic, like, you know?
Yep.
But now everyone's like, hey, what is this? Let's watch it again. Let's watch it again and see if, and let's put a like button next to it, you know?
Yep. Or a sad face. Yeah, it's a scary world, but at the same time, technology is awesome, you know? You can, if you're stuck on a problem doing homework, or you need to know the answer to a certain question, you know, the internet is really amazing what you could do. With the apprenticeship I'm in, we have to do some crazy math, and sometimes it gets pretty hard, dude. And if I'm not too sure on an answer, I could just put that math equation into Google and get an answer.
Right.
You know? And so it has its benefits too, but I don't know. And then social media, though, is something else, because these kids nowadays, they're seeing all these influencers getting all these likes and making all this money. And then some of these kids nowadays, you ask them, hey, what do you want to do? I want to be a YouTuber, or I want to be an influencer. Back then, you know, we wanted to be police officers and doctors. And don't get me wrong, influencers and YouTube stars, you know, that's awesome. But is that like what we should be striving for?
Yeah, I don't know. You're right, because like everyone that was like a fan, like say of like Kurt Cobain, right, or some shit back in the day before all this stuff, like they could like dress like him or something and try to talk like him or something and try to look like him if they really liked this guy, right, and idolize this character. But they couldn't like, you know, create a show and have it accessible to the world of themselves and become their own better Kurt Cobain. You know,
right?
Like, so it's really interesting that like we have these avenues. And I remember as a kid watching fucking the Amanda Show and all that. Like, they were little clips of like YouTube clips, bro. Like, of someone in there, hi guys, literally, bro. Like, they're in their house. It's another set. They're just in their house making a video in their kitchen. Hi guys, welcome to my video, and they were making fun of it. But it was almost like that wasn't a real thing yet, though. So it's like, what were they making fun of? It's like, was the chicken or the egg kind of thing happening there, where it was like creating this response socially to want to do that? Some people that like to talk about the conspiracy of geoengineering, like, or social engineering, I think that some people get into that, you know. But I don't know if I believe that. But I think it does art always inspires humans to do some wild shit.
Exactly.
And now we're growing up through Black Mirror type shit, where we watch Black Mirror, or like, you know, we watch something that's mind bending, bro. And our kids watch it with us or whatever. And it's almost like, is it overexposure? I kind of think so sometimes. I think we have to learn how to, you know, properly expose things, you know. And some people would say, well, that's never. And I think that's a mistake, right? But I think that you got to, like, kind of put some rails on this shit a little bit, whatever that means.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree with you. And it's a fine line, because, you know, you want to know what's out there, and you definitely want the best. But what is the best, really?
Right.
The overexposure, too, is something that I think as a world that we're never going to get away from. But as parents, we need to be there for our children and not just let them waste their lives, their young lives, on a tablet or a screen. Get them outdoors, get them playing sports if they want, or just going hiking, go see the outdoors. Like, it's that's how I was raised, and I loved being outdoors. I remember when we got a PlayStation, for the first time, me and my brother played it for maybe like an hour a day or so. And then after that, we wanted to be outside. We wanted to go explore because we lived in the country. We could walk around for hours. And I remember we wouldn't come home till we would hear my mom like yelling, "It's dinner time." And because there was no street lights where I lived, so it would get dark and she would probably be worried about us. But we were just out there in the country having a good old time, climbing a mountain or, you know, just having fun. And nowadays I don't see that. I don't see kids out there riding their bikes or at the skate park. Remember when we used to go to the skate park? There would be kids there from sun up till sundown.
Bro, I lived in the mountains, but literally, like, you wouldn't think it. I'd be riding my bike every day. I remember when I was hella into basketball, I'd be outside playing basketball every day. When I get into skateboard, I'd be trying to be outside, trying to learn how to ollie, trying to learn how to kickflip, try to do this shit on this little cement slab, just keep trying to do shit over and over and over and over and over and try to get better at it, because that's just what we did as kids. But I could also say that it gave me false hopes, because I would watch videos thinking I would be that, and I knew I would never be that, and I didn't know how to accept that.
Exactly.
So I keep trying to press it, and then I realized, oh, I need to let up. Because I'm never going to be that, and that's okay. I just get good at things sometimes for fun, you know, in life. And I feel like I still have to remember that as I get older. And everyone takes their job too seriously sometimes, too, because it's time to learn something new or always learn something new on the side. You know, you have your career, right, sometimes, but it doesn't mean that's your, like, niche in this whole life and this whole social ecosystem that we live in. Like, you have so many other niches. Like, you know, like, you example, yes, you're an electrician, but you're also a father. You're also a cool dude to be around in general. When you come to the bar, something I get all excited, like, dang, these guys are, well, I don't mean to say the bar and restaurant, he comes as a family man, guys, like, that's not what I'm saying, but like I feel like we all fill a niche in a certain place, and it's not just our career. But I feel like we often give too much to that. We think that our career is everything, and I think that sometimes it's time to learn something new no matter what on the side. And I think when we get old, if we stop doing that, the gears don't spin in that direction as much anymore. They freeze up, I feel like, and you don't want to try new shit anymore. And maybe that's why a lot of old people are all mad, because they don't want to try new shit anymore. They don't want to hear new shit. They don't want to hear Old Town fucking Road again, you know?
Yep. Stay in their old ways, not do shit, drink some coffee, and watch the daily news. It's like, man, I want to be 60 years old or older, you know, still hiking, still exploring, vacationing. It's like my dad says, he's getting towards the age of retirement. He's like, I don't ever want to retire. I'll go get a job at Home Depot or somewhere where I could just keep working and not just be sitting at home all day.
Yeah, and you want to do things either way. Like, you know, we live in an age and in a place and an opportunity where we have an opportunity where if we use our mind to the best of our abilities, we can save a lot of labor, work, like physical labor. And that's what, you know, like you, for example, you still install shit. I'm sure you're put in very scary positions often. But the reality is it's
all the time.
It's like your head knowledge and the way that you skillfully implement it makes a lot of sense. And it makes the job make sense. And you get paid good for that. Instead of just having to, I don't know if it was up to like how many feet of line you ran only, you know, doesn't matter what else you have to go through to get it done. Then it would be a crapshoot, you know. You get paid for the actual like mental labor, understanding how it needs to go, what area this needs to fall in, blah blah blah.
And then teaching like the newer kids, the newer guys out there too that aren't knowledgeable in the area. You know, I'm always willing to learn and I'm always willing to teach, because you get some of these guys and it's like, oh, they'll learn it when they learn it, or I don't get paid enough to teach them. It's like, That's not a good attitude to have, because what if you don't remember when you were the green guy? You don't remember not knowing shit and being scared to go ask? Like, I tell the new guys, like, dude, ask me anything. I'm here to help and I'm here to teach. And if I don't know it, we'll figure it out together.
Well, I think that we all have noticed, each and every one of us, I'm sure, depending on, you know, what line of work you've gone into. I think everyone listening, anybody in the world, dude, literally, you've seen some people, you've worked with some people, and when you work with people, you got to deal with people's bullshit. And sometimes that means their bullshit is trying to throw you off on purpose so you don't learn shit fast. They don't want you to learn shit fast and do better than them. They don't want to see that. And we can't forget that even our peers, dude, even our peers gatekeep knowledge all the time from each other.
Oh, yeah.
We do that to each other. That's what we do socially. Yeah. It's part of humans. And instead of not accepting that, I think we need to, because we think our politicians don't do that because, no, they're not. It's like, dude, the people around you do that. Like, what do you mean they don't do that?
Exactly.
You're twice removed cousins. They don't give a fuck, dude.
You know? They're the main ones doing it.
Dude, it's a trip.
So I just, I just go to work every day with a great attitude, and it's not always fun. It's not always easy, but it's very rewarding at the end of the day when you see that building come on with the lights and the receptacles and everything you installed. Because the electricity I do, I don't do houses. I don't do residential. I do commercial. So it's big buildings like
right.
Amazon buildings and UPS hubs. And right now I'm working on a mental health hospital. And it's going to be very rewarding once you see that going up and you see this facility you worked on helping people that really need it. That's what I really do it for. That's very rewarding.
That's beautiful. I'm really glad that you clarified, because I feel like now that you said it, I didn't clarify. We were just talking about you being an electrician, but like you're an industrial type electrician, bro. Like this is some commercial, or you call it commercial, my bad, like for like big ass buildings. That is awesome, bro. You know?
Well, it's fun, and I encourage anybody out there, any youngsters, or even somebody that's just, just at a dead-end job, and they don't know what could I do? Go out there and go join a union. Go join a trade. There is so many trades out there. There's guys that do T-bar for a living. There's guys that do framing. There's low-voltage electricians. You could find almost anything you would like to do. And that's the thing that I feel like they should have taught us more in school. Like, you don't have to just go to a college and get a degree and go sit at a job you hate. Like, go join a trade school. Go. And I'm not hating on that route.
No, I get you. But do something. I get you, bro.
Because, it's not for everybody. I went to college for, at Reedley College for 2-3 years and I hated it. I just wanted to, quit every day. And then my brother, who is also an electrician, was like, dude, you just need to join a trade. Doesn't matter what it is, just join. And I did road work for a little while, and I was like, I hate this shit. I'm good. I'm going to go do what my brother does and my dad, because he's also an electrician. And I ended up enjoying it and loving it, and I don't see myself ever doing anything else. But you never know until you try. And there's so many trades out there, and just give it a shot.
I like that. Yeah, I like that. Cause like sometimes it's not so much that you have to go after some kind of trade and get inspired and then realize, oh, this is not for me. That's okay. But usually once you're just involved with something going on, you know how to do like a spinoff. Like imagine like a good ass show. On TV when we were growing up, when it was really important to have a good ass show, and they would do like a spinoff of that show. And sometimes it'd be good, but you'd check it out. You'd for sure check it out. Exactly. But you gotta go check it out. Otherwise, you'll never know. And sometimes you gotta like do a spinoff of that shit. Do a side. Someone called it a side, not a side hustle, but that's a different meaning, but like a side journey or a side quest. Side quest.
Side quest. Yeah. Exactly.
And my life is just side quests, bro. I don't know what the main quest is anymore, bro.
But you know what? You're still young enough, dude, that it doesn't matter. You'll find what's right for you at the right time. I didn't start doing electrical until I was, I think, 27 or so. And a lot of people, there's guys that are already journeymen by the time they're 27 because they started right out of high school. Right. They knew what they wanted to do. There's guys that I'm working with right now that are younger than me, that know more than me, and that's totally cool, and I respect the shit out of that. But it's never too late and it's never too early.
Yeah, good point. Folks, if you listen to this podcast, then you know we're all about maintaining our ecosystem. That includes the front and backyard, because that's the ecosystem in which we all pretty much live. Whether you got trees to be pruned or you got to put in some irrigation units or system, you might be in over your head. Let's be honest. Sometimes it's kind of hard to make time with our busy lifestyles, and sometimes it's something we just don't know how to do. We'd rather have someone else do it. So if you're looking for help with that,
we have someone that we would definitely recommend over here at the Symbiosis Now podcast. Celaya and Sons Lawn Care. Veteran owned and operated by Carlos Celaya. He's out there laying sod, edging lawns, planting trees, and cleaning up some old landscaper's bullshit. If you want it done right and you want it done now, give Carlos Celaya a call at 559-213-7365. And you will be able to find his email in the description below for this podcast. That's Celaya and Sons Lawn Care, 559-213-7365. Because we all like it done right. So whatever you need done, you got to call Celaya and Sons.
Good point, bro. That's the real inspirational shit right now that we need to hear in this life. Because, bro, you know, we always think, you don't do that because it's not a for sure win. But yet we'll buy a scratcher at the fucking gas station. It's like, you know, put your life in priorities and then be like, you know what? What do I kind of want to do? Fuck it. And, you know, I've thought about that. But sometimes it's like I got to make money in the meantime. And a lot of things, sometimes when you're transitioning, you have to still make money. So that's why sometimes it has to be like literally a spinoff, meaning like anybody that's listening that knows, like when you get one job and sometimes you have to work the same job into the next job because they want you to start sooner, but the other job can't let you go yet. You know, and sometimes that's just the way it is. Like you put in your 2 weeks, but you were like working both jobs in that meantime at the minimum. And so like if no one knows what that's like, then maybe it's new to them and it's really stressful and it's hard to deal with. But that's part of sometimes what has to come with the journey. Sometimes when you're working some hard ass shit going on or something and you're trying to get out, you can't just, I mean, you could quit, I guess. But if you need the money and you need to make a proper transition, it's a hard thing to initially learn. But once you learn that, you don't feel like you're limited as much anymore. You feel like you have some power in the negotiation. If you're serious about work, if you actually learn and pick up skill and you like to put in work and learn and meet people and be a team player and shit, you'll be fine. But the reality is you have to like make those jumps and do what it takes sometimes. And it gives us anxiety. It gives me anxiety, bro, trying to like be like, oh, I'm losing this job that just went bankrupt or whatever. And now I'm not going to have a job and I don't have a job lined up. So what the fuck do I do? Like nobody likes that feeling. You know, but sometimes you just got to do something, bro, whatever, just make some money on the side. I don't know. Just do something. And you learn some stuff in those times. Like I'm thinking of a specific time when I worked at Fresh and Easy and it went out of business because the whole corporation as a whole went out of business. So they just went bankrupt, pulled out, all the stores shut down. We didn't have a job. So I ended up going and trying to work at the feed store because I would go and buy my dog food at this fucking place. And like I met this lady and she's crazy. Shout out to Kim, who's not, it doesn't even exist anymore. The building's there, but it's not a feed store anymore. And like, I worked there for a couple months with someone who smokes cigarettes inside and sells dog food and horse feed and knows veterinary tactics and all this shit. And like stacks hay hella high and knows how to run a forklift. You know, she's a badass bitch. And she would say that about herself. But the reality is, that bitch was crazy, and I worked for her, and she paid me under the table shitty money, but hey, you know what? I didn't do a lot, and I'd smoke cigarettes with her. You know, we'd sit there and smoke cool cigarettes while I would take money from customers at the same fucking time. Imagine that. That's in California.
That is fucking badass, actually.
And then I was like, okay, I gotta stop doing this. And then, so imagine the transition from that. What do you think the next transition would be? It'd be like, I don't know, you'd move on to something else. I went to a fucking bank, Chase Bank, and I worked there for a couple months from that spinoff because I was waiting, you know, okay, that's the next actual job. And in the meantime, I got to do something. So every day that's where I'd be going. And some days I wouldn't even get paid, you know, and I'd realize, dang, you know, this is how the real world is raw like this. Like, you know, if you want to survive, you know, you got to fucking know what's actually going to be a sure thing. And that's why we all end at the end of the day, if we need the money, we're going to work for someone and put effort into their success, hopefully, so that way we can get paid in the meantime because it's a sure thing on paper. Somehow we have that opportunity in this state and in this country and maybe, I don't know, other places in North America too. But when you work, you have now a negotiation or you have like a contract basically that you're going to work and they're going to pay you for the time you put in. But dude, if you don't have that and they're paying you under the table, they could just not pay you, you know. Save the money.
That's how.
Tell you what, you don't even work here. You know what? Well, you don't even actually work here. So why would I? What do I owe you? You know.
You just walk in one day and say, "Hey, what are you doing here?" Like, I used to work at a smoke shop and it was under the table, and I thought it was really cool job. I worked there for a little while, and then all of a sudden, like you're saying, I walked in one day and they're like, hey, so yeah, we don't need you anymore. And I'm just like, fuck, I have a car payment, I have to pay rent, like, what right. am I gonna do? And that's a very scary time. And but you know what, you can't just lay down and die. You have to fight, you have to go out there and find something. And if you don't have that courage and that drive to do it, then you're not gonna make it.
Nah, dude, I vibe with that. I feel you 100%, 1000%.
But you know what? We're here. We're doing great now, and that's all that matters.
It is what matters, bro, in our little world, bro. Because if our own little ecosystems are pretty healthy, theoretically, that's rippling out into the bigger ecosystem, you know? And so that way, everywhere we go, we're kind of, you know, we're nourishing the ecosystem a little bit with our vibes. You know, it sounds cheesy and hippie, but I think there's some very realness to that, you know?
Oh, 100%.
And so if we're all just doing our thing, putting in the work, I think we're doing good.
One day this world will be all right. Well, it is all right already, but, you know, it's getting better day by day.
Yeah, but then they talk about, like, you know, the doomsday clock has ticked a little bit forward to where, like, we're at the end of the world, and it's like, what is the doomsday clock? And you look into it, and it's like, okay, so it's not a real clock. It's just, like, an opinion, a public opinion of, like, how much closer we are to the end of the world, and that's scary. Because what about when that clock hits fucking midnight, you know?
Yeah, we won't know it. It'll just happen.
Yeah. Will it be live on television? Like, you know? Will Coke, will Pfizer be brought, be bringing it to our eyes?
For real, the last minute, by Pfizer.
Or at the last minute, real quick, like a little. No, sometimes I think about weird shit like that, but I hope that we're in a good place, right, man. Like, but everyone else is talking about it, not me. They're the ones that are keep bringing up in the narrative that, you know, Ukraine and Russia is this world-ending thing, and everyone keeps anteing it up, and I don't even like to get involved, but at the end of the day, bro, any war, I just want to say this. I don't even really like talking about it. I just want to say for sure on the airwaves that any war is not a good idea, and I think that a lot of people never think that until it's too fucking far into the war. There's a war. Right. There's a fog of war. It's a thing. It's a term where we don't realize what's happening. We just listen to the information while it's happening, and we think we stand on one side, but we really don't know what's actually going on because we're not there, you know?
You're not in the trenches. You don't know what's going on.
And I sure as fuck don't want to fight some random guy that we, you know, because it's not even us that are making the decision, you know?
No.
Like, when more we're tanks are sent, I didn't say, no one asked me, the fuck, and I know no one asked me about anything like that, but, like, it didn't ask anybody, like, you know, it's just kind of like, who is this coalition that decides this? What's up with that, you know?
Right. Whoever has money involved.
And in World War II, that's exactly how it began, too, you know, the United States was manufacturing weapons and sending weapons, but they were not in the war, and Germany was like, bullshit, you're in the fucking war. And basically that's basically where we're at. It's scary, bro. And I don't want to end up going and fight some Russian dude. I don't. I like you, Russian dude. You know? Hey, but later. Hey, but later if I have to go, G, watch, I'm going to be looking at that Russian dude. Fuck you, bro. I'm going to fucking take you out, bro. They're going to teach me.
Come at me, bro.
And it's scary because I don't want to do that, man. That's what we're talking about here. Like, I don't think people think about the realness of what we're talking about here anymore. You know? It's not a game.
Imagine, you know, you see those videos in other countries where there's war going on in their soil. Imagine that in your land. Imagine walking out every day like, fuck, I hope I don't get hit by a missile. I hope this, you know, army doesn't raid my house, my neighborhood. We don't have to worry about that. But in other countries, they really do. They live that every day, and that's sad.
Yeah, and I think the big story with Ukraine that touches everyone's heart, though, at the end of the day, that's why it's such a, you know, a pivotal narrative, you know, a talking piece of what's going on over there anyways, is that they didn't expect it to go to that level, you know? Like,
no.
And so most of the world apparently didn't either. But it can, and it always does. And sometimes you don't hear about it. But when you're like a mainstream nation of some kind or something, of course you're going to hear about it. you're going to hear about it a lot. And now I feel like we're at the point where people just willingly are like down to say, let's go to war over it. If we have to stand up for someone else, you know, and it's like, yeah, but no, like, I hate to say that, but let them stand up for themselves. Like, I don't want to say that, but like, come on, dude, we gave you billions, doggy. We gave you hella fucking tanks now. Just, okay, that's enough. No, that's enough. Like, no, don't get us in trouble here. You know, and any friend that I ever had that was like, come on, man, I just need a little more. And you gave it to them. They got you in trouble, bro. Like, you know,
exactly. Instead of just turning around and saying no.
Yeah. And be like, bro, I'm sorry. You took it too far already. And same thing goes for at the bar, bro. Sometimes people be drinky, too muchy, muchy, bro. And you got to say, hey, and that's a hard thing to be a bartender and tell some or like training to be a bartender. All right. I'm not officially a bartender, but like learning those things and learning how you have to tell people, hey, man, no more. And they get mad at you, bro. They want to eat free shit now and leave without paying because they're all drunk, you know, and think that's okay.
And it's like, dude, I'm just looking out for you. You're going to thank me tomorrow when you're at home and you're good and you're not overindulging. Yeah, that's a hard job to have. I couldn't do it.
Nah, dude. I think it just depends, man. Well, it's fun sometimes. Fit, yeah. You got to be good at communicating stuff. And I think you could do it because you're very chill, man. And you like you said, you work at a smoke shop, so you'd have to sell merchandise to people that if they weren't underage, you can't sell it to them. You know what I mean? It's pretty similar, you know, in that way. It's just people come in usually knowing what they want before they walk in there at a bar. They're just like, so what you got? Like, you know, it becomes this fucking weird dynamic thing where you're telling some drunk guy what to get. And you're like, wait a minute. You're drunk as fuck right now. We can't serve you drunk as fuck right now, sir.
Sorry, come back another day.
Yeah, you know, and some people, bro. I'm telling you, dude, someone tried to fight me recently, you know, or not recently. It was like in the summertime, but these big dudes, they like slammed their fist down, dude, and were like, serve me my fucking drink, motherfucker. And I was like, fuck you. I stood up for myself. Oh, I shouldn't have said it, huh? But I was like, fuck you, bro. Get the fuck back from the bar. I'm getting the security and they're kicking your ass out right now. And I started walking over to security, bro, and they started following me to security, bro. So I like turned around and I hid behind the bar kind of, and here comes security because they seen me. They seen what was going on. And sure enough, they grab these fools like they're like little bitches all of a sudden. All of a sudden, they're like, nah, we're cool, right, bro? We're cool. And I'm like, I don't know, man. A second ago, you were calling me motherfucker and telling me to make your fucking drink. And, you know, I was starting to make them feel bad. They were like, I'm sorry, bro. We're cool, right? We're cool. And they were like, what do you think? Should we kick them out? And I was like, nah. Let them play still, but don't let them fucking do anything else. And that was it. They didn't come back to me all night. So sometimes you got to send a message, but you also got to do it the right way because people, dude, you never know. They'll pull out some weapons on you. They'll do some weird shit, and you don't want that, and I don't want that. Nobody wants that, bro, and people do that. I don't want that, and so I just come at it much softer these days, but when there's a show, sometimes people come at you hard, bro. They're feeling themselves. They think they're balling, buying drinks for girls and shit, and they're too fucked up real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. An audience around them, you're right.
It's fucked up to do somebody. It is. That's not right. Especially you. You know, you're a cool as fuck guy, and to... For them to disrespect you like that, that's not right.
Yeah, they liked me. They liked me up until the point where I told them, hey, man, I can't serve you anymore.
Like, go down to 7-Eleven or something, bro, but you ain't getting it here.
Bro, sadly, even just go to a different bar at the other bar, like across the way. Just go to that one over there, and then they'll probably not know how much you've had, sadly, right? That's not, you know, don't come back to me and me have to say, hey, man, that's it, bro. Too many Red Bull vodkas, homie. You should know better.
So now you're all pumped up and you're drunk.
Yeah.
What are we going
to
do?
That's why you wanted to fight, dude. And, like, I don't want to fight, bro. I'm not a fighter, you know. Like, I put that down a long time ago, or I thought I did, and then I put it down for real, when I thought I already put it down. I put it down for real, you know. And so I don't do that, like, you know. And I like to tell people that, you know, to be, like, nice and shit. I try to make it a fun experience. But sometimes, no matter what way you eat at it, they're too aggressive, and you have to tell them, look, man, straight face, that's what's going to happen. That's all I could do. And they get fucking mad because they're like a little kid now, like being told, you're not allowed more, Tommy. You know, you can't have more sugar like when you're a kid, you know, and they're like, I want
no more cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not happening.
That's just where like people's entitledness comes in too. Like, who the fuck are you to tell me I can't drink anymore? And it's like, I am. I have the authority here. You had fucking 12 of those drinks already. You don't need any more.
Right. Exactly.
And if anything, you're just looking out. You're not trying to be a dick, trying to spoil their fun. You just legally, you can't do it. And morally,
And in fact, it's another shade deeper. I feel like often that the person that would be doing that is now basically telling you as their customer, I don't give a fuck about you, your job that you can maybe lose. I am down to basically put you in a bad position and not give a fuck. And that's, no one really likes that, you know? And you don't like having repeated customers like that. So miss us with that bullshit at the wake house, right, for sure.
Go somewhere else, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a chill spot to be at. You don't need any of that there.
Nah, we're trying to keep it chill, bro. We don't need any of that bullshit over there. You heard it here, man.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, Zach, dude, you're the fucking man. I'm so stoked to have you on. I think the guests are stoked to hear your voice, bro. It sounds good, nice and clear, nice and deep. That's what we need, bro, you know? And
hell yeah.
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you sharing your stories, what you do. Hell yeah, bro. I'm digging it. Hey, text me anytime. Hit me up. If you ever want to go eat dinner where I work, bro, please. Like, I'm gotten better at my job now. I like to serve you. If it's not too busy, I got you. If it's hella busy, sometimes I have to make drinks and it's too busy to, like, really share, like, some vibes together. But if it's not too busy,
right,
you guys pop in or whatever, we'll serve you. The food's fire right now. You got to get the tri-tip burrito. You know, I think that you like that shit right there. But
That's my next thing right there.
But yeah, dude, I'm super stoked. And like you said, you're honored, bro. It's an honor. What the fuck, dude? Zach Hawkins is a legend in Reedley, bro. There's only so many bricks in the wall, the legends, bro, right? That build, you know, literally build shit too, like around the area. 559 yeah. Legends, bro, right here, dude. Zach Hawkins, man. It's cool as hell to have you on the podcast, man. Thank you for coming through. Listener, I hope that you had a good time. I feel like we had a good little conversation about a lot of cool ass shit. I know I talked a little shit on my neighbor, but hey man, guy's kind of whacked out, kind of tweaked out, hit the globey, the pookie a little too hard. Sometimes I have to spread the awareness of such a strange and bizarre happenstance for someone to find themselves in their humble neighborhood. I'm very glad that we touched on entomology, because that's something that is very close to my heart, even though I don't really ever talk about it. I like bugs. I'm interested in bugs. So thank you, Zach. Zach, it was super cool to fucking hear what you know about electricity and how you feel about the electric momentum of society. Listener, I hope you had a great fucking time. Tell your friends about the podcast. And this is Tyler Colombaro signing off for this episode. And I hope to catch you on the next episode of the Symbiosis Now podcast.